Well, good morning everyone and welcome to this 10 o'clock communion service here at All Saints this morning. And this morning you are going to be treated to Dave, who's going to open this new series that we are looking at over the next few weeks. I'd like to say 9 or 10, but it could be longer. Cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. So Dave's coming to preach on the first the opening sermon slot for that. Now, while I've got your attention, there will be words on the screen if they're in yellow. I think they're for me, and white will be for you guys. So, we have a few notices. We've got a week of guided prayer coming up. There's a few places left. I know people have been really have found growth and a much, and a deeper knowledge of God. So if you feel like having a go, I know there's a few places still left. Well, we've got that one up, and before I move to the next one, B informs me that the same week, it's Christian Aid. She's going to be putting envelopes out at the back next week, so keep your eyes open for that. Kingdom Giving Month, those envelopes that were at the back of church. Many, many thanks to all of those that have filled in the form and basically pledged things. Do not fear if you've left it at the bottom of your to-do pile. Still plenty of time, as it's a month. Fill it out. Dave's going to be talking a little bit about this at the beginning of his slot, so don't think I need to say any more, but a big thanks to those of you who have already got the replies in. Val was very keen that I mention this again. Who's coming to lunch? The sign-up sheet is at the back. It has to be with her today because she's got to sort out venues and menus. Right. So, yes, sign up if you're interested at the back. It's getting down to Val straight after the service. And we have the START course starting soon, very soon, tomorrow at 2 o'clock at St. Andrew's, or at least the training is, so if you that is also a sign up at the back of the church. And we have got there. And for those of you that have not had an email pop into your email box, or for anybody online who wishes to connect with us, take a screenshot right now, not of me, but of the slide, and that will tell you how to get in contact with us. Right. I cannot believe that is any more, but there might be. If I remember, we'll do it right at the end. Right then. Let us just take a deep breath. Process the ones of those notices you need to remember. Put them to one side and let God in. We are here to worship Him, to get to know Him better, to have a deeper encounter with Him this morning. So I will invite you to join in with me in the words in white. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So we stand before the throne of God with countless crowds from every nation and race, tribe and language. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might be to our God for ever and ever. Amen. God of our days and years, we set this time apart for you. Form us in the likeness of Christ so that our lives may glorify you. Amen. So we have come to worship from many backgrounds, many different circumstances, but all of us answering the call of God to our hearts, to our souls. So let us stand and sing our first song, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Please stand. Please take a seat. And Sarah is our reader today. Because Dave is going to do two preaches, one service, two venues and all that, we are just switching things around. So Sarah is coming to read.
The readings are taken from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26, followed by 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 to 18. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with everlasting glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Nice to be here. I just want to very briefly give an update for you on the Kingdom Giving Month. Thank you so much to all those who have responded. We've been so encouraged by the responses. And you may have seen the mailing, but the headline news is that we've had increased giving, regular giving of £35,000 pledged, which is amazing to go towards the new roles. And we said we would need somewhere between 30 and 44. Depends the salaries, it depends exactly how it works out on that. So, you know, that's given us enough confidence to go through the adverts, which I hopefully will get out tomorrow or Tuesday. We're nearly there with them, but just a final few things. So that's really exciting. And do share those adverts when they do come out with anyone you know, any contacts. And more than anything, just pray that God would bring the right people at this time to come and be part of our team. And the news on Megan's Kitchen too is really encouraging. We've had nearly £20,000 pledged for that already, which is fantastic. 30. Whee! We'd originally said we need 55. Now, there are some other sources of income that have come in this week that I can't go into details about that will need to go to, particularly to St Andrew's PCC, but there may be, we may be able to use some of those. And, you know, we're trusting God will bring in the rest. But that is an amazing response, and we want to thank you so much for the generosity that has been shown. And if you haven't responded yet, please do to that. But we give thanks to God for that. I'm just keeping an eye on the time, because I just want to time how long this is so that I know whether to cut it down or stretch it out at St Andrew's. In January, I underwent some coaching. I did what's called a life intensive, which is 15 hours of coaching, with Diana Hunt's nephew, Stu, who I was at Cypher Camp with 25 or so years ago. It's amazing. And the lovely thing about the coaching we had was that every so often I reckoned a phrase. I recognised a phrase that he would say. And then he would say, "Uncle Paul told me that." I thought, that's where I've remembered it from. But as part of that coaching, we would he gave me lots of really profound questions. Here's one of them. You know, 30 years' time, what's the story you want people to tell about your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your wider family and friends, and what are you going to do now to live out that story? That's a profound question. Now, some of you might want to change the 30 and reduce it numbers. That's about right for me. But, you know, that question really had an impact on me and has changed me. One of the ways it's changed me is that I realised the story my daughter would tell of me was that I had a dad who would never let her have a dog. We are now going to get a dog in September. Pray for me. But that was right. And God transformed me through that question. That question's on the end of the life group notes this week. I've chucked it on. If you want to spend time reflecting on that question, do. Here's another question. What are your top three life values? What are the three values that actually are most important for you? For you, for who God's made you to be. And I was given this massive long list of a whole load of different words and told to reduce it to 10 important ones and then reduce it to 3 really important ones. And I did that, first of all, and it was interesting what I came up with. I came up with words like purposeful and making a difference and transformation. And then I looked at those words and I just was a bit uncomfortable about it because it felt a bit driven. That's some of my stuff. And Stu said to me, he said, go and pray about it. Take it to God and go and pray about it and see where God leads you. And God did lead me to these three values. These are the three values that I've come up with as my life values. I'm not going to go into detail about them. You can look at the slide on the YouTube recording later. Kingdom transformation at the bottom. Third one, which is a bit about our church vision, really, what we're here for. But the second one, you know, God led me to say, actually, the second value is about family. And actually, God spoke to me and said, and this was quite profound, your ministry to your family is more important to me than your ministry to your church. And that was significant. And that went like a bullet to me. And I'm seeking to be different because of that. And then the word that he led me to more than anything was this word at the top there, Christ-like. That actually, you know, that should be my top value, my top priority, to seek to become more like Jesus in my character, being with him, learning from him, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform me and grow the fruit of the Spirit in me, especially love, joy and gentleness. That was just ones I needed to pick out at that time. Because I realised that, you know, if we get that right, if we seek to be like Christ, everything else follows, doesn't it? You know, our relationship with God is right. It gets better. You know, our character is going to be more the character we were created to have and is going to be much better. You're going to be much better to live with. You know, your priorities and your values and your passions are going to be aligned with God's. And I just had this revelation from God that, you know, actually Christ-likeness, you know, was what I needed to focus on this year. It's perhaps my word for the year. And that's why we're doing this series now, because God spoke to me about that back in January. I said, before we do anything else in this next season at church, help people to become more like Jesus. Because if we get that right, everything else will follow. So these are my three life values now. I have them stuck in a notebook. I have them on a screensaver on my computer. And every so often I try and pray through them. That's what Stu encouraged me to do. I would love to say I am now the perfect Christ-like husband and father. But of course that's not true, is it? Because we're all works in progress. But what I can tell you is I'm better than I was. I'm just a little bit more Christ-like, I think, than I was back in January. And that God's done a bit of a work in me, and I'm an ongoing project for him. So pray for me. Pray those things for me. I would love you to, as if you want to know what to pray for your vicar, pray those things for me. So if I get those right, actually, I'll probably do a reasonable job here. And, you know, growing in Christ-likeness is, you know, what we're focusing on over these next few weeks as we work our way through this series, looking particularly at the fruits of the Spirit. And as we start, I want to show you in Scripture that becoming more like Jesus is, you know, all over Scripture. It's what we were created for in the first place. You know, here's some verses, you know, in Romans 8:29 says, "For God knew his people in advance before we were even born, and he chose them to become like his son." You know, in the past, God chose us to become like Jesus. this one Sarah's just read out for us, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces, and that refers to Moses coming down the mountain with a glowing face after receiving the Ten Commandments, Exodus 34, go and look it up, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes to the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we were chosen to be transformed, to be like Christ. We are being transformed. We're in the process of being transformed. And then 1 John 3:2, we're God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, that when he, Christ, is revealed, we will be like him. For we'll see him as he is. There's a future hope that actually, in heaven, we're not going to be as we are now. We will have the full likeness of Christ, whatever that means. It doesn't mean we're exactly like Jesus, but we'll have his character. So in the past we were created, in the present we are being transformed, in the future we will be. It's all over scripture. And then going back to the middle one there, that lovely phrase, are being transformed. Actually the Greek word for that is metamorpho, which is where we get metamorphosis from. That sort of transfer from being a caterpillar to a butterfly, that process of outward transformation. And that only occurs in the Bible 4 times. It's here, it's in Romans 12:2, which talks about we are being transformed and offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And then the other 2 times it comes in where is the word for when Jesus is transfigured, at the transfiguration. And that sense that Jesus' likeness, outward appearance, changed and he shone with the glory of God in a new way. So you could read that as we are being transfigured. We are being shaped to shine more with Jesus' glory to the world. I love that. It's a lovely image. So, you know, it's God's purpose that we become more like Jesus. But why is it important? Why is it so important? Well, 2 things. I want to say, I think it's important because, here, God doesn't want us to stay as caterpillar Christians. He wants us to be transformed into butterfly Christians. You know, so often I think when we become Christian, we think we've done it, we've made it, I've got my ticket to heaven, I've got it. But that's just the start of God's transformation in us, isn't it? You know, God's a God who wants to transform, who wants to transfigure us. He wants to work in us. And the great news is that the more he works in us, then the more we are what we've always been created to be. And there's a word that you might have noticed in both the Galatians reading and the Corinthians reading was freedom. And just like when a butterfly, when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, it has a new freedom. I think when we become all that Jesus created us to be, we have a new freedom. You know, we become the father, the husband, the son, the dad, the brother, the friend, the colleague that God's always created us to be. So why is it important to try and seek to become more like Christ? Because that's when we'll be most us, most who God's created us to be. And secondly, not just that, but transformed people are kingdom people who point others or shine others to Jesus. You'll find, as we go through this series, the guy who wrote this, who used to work with my dad, is a great fan of John Stott. So there's several John Stott quotes, but here's one of John Stott's quotes. Why is it that our evangelistic efforts are often fraught with failure? One reason is that we don't look like the Christ we proclaim. Does that resonate with people? Resonates with me to some extent. And so, you know, the opposite of that is when we do look like the Christ we proclaim, we are transfigured. We're shining God's glory to the people around us. And we are bringing in God's transformation. So when we seek to be more like Jesus, we're going to make a difference and live out the vision that we are called to live out here, partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. Those 2 things, it makes us more who we are. And it makes us shine for Jesus more effectively in this world. How to do it? John Stott again. I've spoken much about Christ's likeness, but how is it possible for us? In our own strength, it clearly is not. But God has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfil his purposes. You know, so often we can say, that's just who I am. I'm just a grumpy person. I'm just a bitter person. I'm just a bit of a moody person. Have you ever been tempted to say that sometimes? And the fact is that we can't just completely change ourselves just by hard work. What the Bible talks about is that actually we are transformed, we are transfigured by God's Spirit, who transforms us and who works in us, and as we'll see, who grows his fruit in us. You see, it's about the fruit of the Spirit, not just about the fruit of hard work. I can try and be more patient, and I might get a bit more patient, but it's only when God really breaks into my heart and grows that fruit of patience that I'm going to be really different. I can try and be self-controlled. Actually, self-control's dropped off the bottom there, isn't it? I could try and be self-controlled, but you know, actually, I can't be really different unless God does a deep work of transformation in my heart. And that's why we're going to be looking at this series, The Fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit grows that stuff in us, particularly as we dwell more and more in God's presence and open our hearts to allow God to transform us. And just think about fruit for a moment. You know, a fruit just doesn't, you just don't immediately put a seed in the ground and suddenly you appear fruit, do you? I wish it was like that. But you know, you put the seed in the ground and the plant, the tree, whatever it is, has to grow. It might take many years. And then, you know, in the spring, the bud comes, and then the flower comes, and then it's pollinated, and then the fruit finally comes. You know, this transformation process is not an instant thing nearly all the time. Sometimes, you know, God by his Spirit does just zap people and they're suddenly different. But more often than not, it's a long process, isn't it? And actually the question is, what's our part? Well, our part, you know, we can't do the bit of that's God's part. We can't do that Spirit bit of actually growing this fruit in us. But how do you make a tree work effectively and a tree grow and bear fruit? Well, you need good soil, don't you? You need to pop it in good soil. I've got a tree in our house in Cheltenham that we rent out that actually is, we've got a fruit tree that's died because I think the soil's rubbish. You know, if we're in rubbish soil, then actually we're not going to bear fruits. But if we are in good soil, then actually a tree can really bear fruit. And I think, you know, creating that culture, that environment, that soil is our job. Here are four things that I want to suggest help us create a culture where the Spirit can work in us. Firstly, and this is just the end, and then we're going to close. It's about soaking ourselves in Scripture. Just like the roots of a tree need to be soaked in water, we soak ourselves in Scripture. You know, if I want to be more like Jesus, then what do I need to do? I need to read about who Jesus was and what he was like and how he reacted in different situations, don't I? So let's soak ourselves in Scripture. The lovely thing about this series is it mirrors that series we did in the autumn where, you know, we picked that verse from Exodus 34, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate one, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. We looked there and dwelt in the character of God. Now we're saying, how can we live out that character of God in our lives? But if we want to know what God's like and what Jesus is like that we need to imitate, then let's soak ourselves in Scripture each day. And alongside that, it's about daily rhythms of prayer, of being open to God's Spirit. I don't know how many people did the Lent daily prayer. I thought I had it here. I've got it here. The Lent daily prayer that I put together. But if no one did it and just me did it, it was worth doing. Because I love doing this every day. And it made a big difference to me. I particularly love the bit where it says, you know, take time to be still and to linger in God's care and love. What do you want to whisper honestly to God today? Where do you want to hear him calling you to kingdom work in your life today? I loved just sitting there and thinking about those things. And as I did, I think God changed me and God spoke to me. And you know, the really interesting thing is there were 2 days over sort of Lent and the Easter holidays where I didn't do this. And there were the 2 days I most messed up. Now, maybe that's a coincidence, but maybe it's not. You know, I think if we soak in Scripture, if we soak in prayer, if we just dwell in the presence of God, that creates the soil for the Spirit to grow that fruit in us. One of the things I've done and I've given out to you is just to give out this card with on the back the daily prayer of John Stott, which was the last prayer on the Lent daily prayer. And now if you do nothing else, what I encourage you to do is to say this prayer every morning as your way of saying, God, I want you to transform me. I'm trying to get the soil in a good place for you to grow this stuff in me. So I give that to you and say, pray it every day. Two more things and then we'll finish. Oh yeah, there's the prayer. We'll say it in a minute. You know, I think this one's important. Spurring one another on in community. I love my men's life group that we meet every Thursday morning. You know, this Thursday morning we really opened up about some deep stuff in our lives and where God's changed us and taken us through tough times. And, you know, for me, those blokes are a place where I can take off my dog collar. I don't have to be the vicar. And they're just my friends who spur me on. And who I can say that I'm really struggling being a dad. And we often have those conversations. I'm struggling being a dad at the moment. Lots of us say that. We're dads together, many of us. Will you pray for me? You know, when we're in community like that, let's be vulnerable. Let's be open. Let's spur one another on as we're called to do. And spur one another on to love and good deeds and living in the power of the Spirit. And then finally, I think it's about us making active choices to imitate Jesus. You know, I was just praying through something this morning, which is a tricky situation for me, and my thought went to, what would Jesus do if he was me? And I think that WWJD, what would Jesus do, is such a helpful thing to say. You know, if Jesus was me in this difficult situation, what would his response be? And then our responsibility is to choose to do that response too, even though we don't want to. And boy, I don't want to do what God told me his response would be this morning. And that's the bit where we make those choices. We do our bits. But it's not just about us trying hard. We then pray, God, would you, I'm going to do this step, but would you fill me with your patience? Would you grow that spirit of self-control in me? Would you just enable me to love where I really don't want to love today? We make the right choices, but we pray God would change our hearts and do that deep work of transformation. So over these next few weeks, we're going to take one fruit at a time and really unpack them. And I hope we'll unpack them in a way which they've never been unpacked for you before. You know, it can easily look at it saying, I know all about the fruit of the Spirit. There's so much more that we don't know. Trust me, I've read the book. So let's just be open to what God wants to do, how God wants to change us. And let's be committed to making good soil, to allow God's Spirit to grow in us, to recognise that we do our bit and that God, by his Spirit, does his bit. And to know that actually we are, even though we will sometimes mess it up and get wrong and feel we're back at step one, we are works in progress. We are being transformed. We are being transfigured to shine more and more with the glory of Jesus, so that when we go out into the world, they will look at us and actually they will see Jesus and they'll be drawn to Jesus. And by our actions and by our love, our communities around us will be a little bit more what Jesus wants in our communities than if we didn't. So I'd just love to invite you just to be still. I'd love us just to say this prayer together, first of all. And then I'm going to give us time to pause. And when we have that time to pause, I want you to look at that, those nine fruit of the Spirit listed there, and think, what's the one fruit that I particularly want to pray that God would give me today. For some of you who've come today in difficult situations, it may well be peace. But you want to pray, God, I don't feel peaceful, but would you grow in me that peace despite my difficult circumstances today? For others, it might be love, to love someone actually who is really hurting you at the moment. Might be joy, needing joy in our lives. It might be actually to be gentle, more gentle, and not just say things as they are. You know, let God point out to you what he wants to grow in you this week and maybe in the next 9-10 weeks. But let's first say it together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. And now let's be open to God directing us to that one fruit to particularly pray for. Holy Spirit, this particular fruit that we've each identified, would you grow that in us in these coming days? Would you grow all of these in us, but that one particularly? And would you continue that process of transfiguring us to shine more with Jesus' glory to a broken and hurting world? Amen.
Thank you, Dave. So, as we continue our reflection on what Dave said, but we're now coming into the main communion service, we acknowledge that God knows us better than we, in fact, know ourselves. And yet, despite all our vagaries and foibles, he still loves us. So our next song, which we're going to stand and sing, is, O God, you search me and you know me. Please.
Thank you.
please have a seat. Oops. Now, this gentleman on the screen was recommended to me many years ago, a long chain of events by our lovely beloved Paul, who pointed me towards one person who I read quite extensively, and then that person started referencing this gentleman, Thomas Keating. Now, he's one of my favourite theologians, and he's definitely one of my favourite guides to the spiritual journey. For those of you who don't know him, I mean, you won't know him, he died a couple of years ago, but he was the founder of Centering Prayer, and he was a member of a Cistercian order of monks. In fact, he spent over 70 years in the sustained practice and devotion to the spiritual life. And therefore, I think someone I think is worth listening to. And this is his book that he's written. And do you know what I like about it? It's thin. I would say it wouldn't take you long to read, because it doesn't. But to get the most out of it, you do a little bit at a time. It's like a very rich chocolate cake. You don't want to do too much. Anyway, it's called The Fruits and Gifts of the Spirit. And if you want another perspective other than the book that we will be preaching sort of out of, this guy, worth a read. And he writes, and therefore I quote, "The fruits of the Spirit are indication of God's presence at work in us in varying degrees and forms. Through the fruits, the Spirit is becoming a reality in our lives. By manifesting the fruit in our daily life, we bear witness to the resurrection of Christ in a most profound manner." I like that, because it's not by teaching or preaching, but our rootedness in the Spirit that communicates Christ's life to all those around us. Now, no matter how well we know ourselves, the main thing we need to know is that we are unable to do anything, any spiritual work, under our own power. We can't just want to do it. We are totally dependent on the divine Spirit, the Spirit that dwells within us at all times, the Spirit that invites us to let go of our plans and our projects and to allow the Spirit to be our energy source for all our actions, to sort of reach out in a trustful dependence on the Spirit, accepting each new sense of weakness and allowing our own mini resurrection. Like Dave says, we are being transformed. So the fruits are the first indication of our transformation in Christ. And he goes on to say, as we press closer to God's heart, we're going to encounter various emotional baggage that hinders our spiritual growth. Diane knows all about this, and she's helped me through several bits and bobs. It's all the stuff that ultimately needs dealing with to allow us to move into a bigger space with God, a greater awareness of his indwelling in us. And it frees us up to be better used by God to do his will, not ours. Now, my own experience, and I have to say it is ongoing, is that when you deliberately seek a particular fruit, and for me it was patience, it was not long after I'd had two children under the age of 5, you really seek patience at that point. For me, though, the route to greater patience has not been easy. and has caused me to face several barricades within me, resulting in turmoil, but ultimately and gloriously resulting and leading to freedom, a freedom to be more patient, but even better, a freedom to enjoy a deeper, wider, broader relationship with God. So, you might want to ignore all that I've just said. You might still be mulling over what Dave said. But I think we're just going to spend a moment in silent prayer. Perhaps you want to talk to God about to take you deeper into him, for him to accompany you as you journey towards the fruit that you'd like, and he just delights in awaking within you. And let's just take that moment to ponder those things and think what we might want to bring to the communion rail in a little bit. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you want to do within us, all the space you want to give us to become more Christ-like within you. And we ask that as we embark on our new journeys with you this week, that you will accompany us through the dark times, through the turmoil, but ultimately leading us to a greater freedom in you to do your will, to exhibit the fruits of your Spirit in our lives. Amen. So now we come to a time, yes, of confession. Seeing we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and make our confession to our Heavenly Father. Join with me in the words on screen. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. So may the God of power, love and power, forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. So now, as we draw closer to God, we have an affirmation of faith rather than a creed this week. So, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we now come to a time of prayer, Margaret.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come in prayer to you this morning, asking that you will lead and guide us as we pray for the world, our church, and ourselves. We thank you that when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit gives us the right thoughts and words. So we pray for our world, mindful that when you created it, you looked at it and said, "It is good." So we know that your heart is breaking too with the horrendous things that are happening. So many parts of your world need our prayers. Help us to pray regularly for them. This morning we pray again for the Ukraine, for all those who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, for those who've lost family, friends and colleagues. This morning, Lord, we just pray especially for the children, those who've been orphaned as a result of the fighting, those who are trapped in the war zone, and those who are seeking to find respite in other countries. And we pray for those who have arrived in Malvern from the Ukraine, praying that we, as your people here, would welcome and befriend them. Help us to show your generosity to them. And we pray for Barry and Debbie as they coordinate our response here in the Chase team. Strengthen and sustain the leaders of the church in the Ukraine. May they bring your message of hope and peace to those around them. And we lift Terry English and his family to you this morning, asking you that you will strengthen them in their work. And we pray for peace. Change the hearts of those set on violence and aggression. And give earthly leaders great wisdom in finding paths towards peace. Just in a few moments, the opportunity to bring to the Lord other parts of the world. Lord, in your mercy, heal our prayer. We pray for our own country, especially in the light of the results of local elections held this week. Lord, may those who have been elected have your wisdom and understanding, that they may lead and guide councils to make good and right decisions for the benefit of all people. And we continue to pray for our government, for our MPs, for those who serve at Westminster. Grant them, Lord, your wisdom. We pray for the Christian leaders of our country. Give them your strength to lead and guide us at this time of uncertainty and the rising cost of living. Bless those organisations and charities who are seeking to meet the needs of those who are struggling with debt, those who have a lack of the basic necessities of life that we take for granted. In a moment, just pray in your heart for those things within our own country. And Lord, we pray for our own town here in Malvern. We thank you for the beauty of the countryside around us, for our freedom and our safety. We pray for our schools, our hospital, our doctor's surgeries, and those businesses, especially those struggling to get back on their feet. We pray for our church here, for the Chase team. We pray especially for Dave, Lord. May he know in no uncertain terms your blessing in his life. We pray for Helen as she seeks to lead us with our work with children and young people. May they both have your strength and energy. We pray especially for the job adverts which are going live this week. May the right people apply and give wisdom to those making the decisions when shortlisting and interviewing. We pray for our church wardens, for our PCC members and those who serve us here so faithfully. And we pray for Megan's Kitchen, thanking you for her life and witness and all those generous gifts that we have received towards this. We pray for our toddler groups, our life groups, and the bereavement cafe. And we just lift to you, Lord, the members of our congregation who need our special prayers at this time. We would pray especially for Trish today. We pray for her consultation with the oncologist this Wednesday. Please, Lord, may she and Ken know your peace and presence in their hearts. And we pray for a positive outcome on Wednesday. We continue to lift our dear sister Janet to you and her ENT appointment this Thursday and those ongoing health issues that she needs to know your love and your compassion. And we bring to you too, Lord, Shirley and Frank, for Sheila and Pat and others known to us who are unable to join us here in person. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So, Lord, as we think about how we can become more Christ-like in our daily lives and on our front lines, may we this week know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, for our next song, I'm going to suggest that we remain seated. It's a song with one very simple request as we approach communion. Draw me close to you, God. draw me close. Let us sing. What a great prayer as we come towards communion. So let's collect all our prayers together and lay them at the foot of the cross. Risen Christ, faithful shepherd of your Father's sheep, teach us to hear your voice and to follow your command, that all your people may be gathered into one flock, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So let's pray together. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. You are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. So, let us stand for the peace. Peace to you from God, who is our Father. Peace from Jesus Christ, who is our peace. And peace from the Holy Spirit, who gives us life. The peace of the Triune God be always with you, and also with you. Let us share at a safe distance. Peace be with you, lovely.
Please be seated for our communion prayer.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise for ever. From the beginning you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time you made us in your image, the crown of creation. You gave us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." I need the next slide, please. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things, in the presence of your divine majesty, form us into the likeness of Christ. Build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all your saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you've created us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus Christ to be the Good Shepherd, and in his love for us lay down his life and rise again. Keep us always under his protection, and give us grace to follow in his steps. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Aha. So now, as we draw to the close, our final song, Strength Will Rise. a song to give heart to the disheartened, to give strength to the weak, and comfort to all those that need God's comfort. So let us stand and sing. Strength will rise. Father, we thank you for all these good gifts that you bestow upon us, and accept these gifts back to you and guide us by your Spirit to build your kingdom throughout the world. Amen. So, God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. So we go into the world. Let us say together. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Amen. Please.